In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hello, this is Pastor John, discipleship pastor at Brookside Baptist Church in Brookville, Wisconsin, and we have two very special guests with us today. We're having a missionary conference, and Carlos and Sarah, you're going to say your last name, not me.
Carlos Abreu.
There you go. Are with us in the studio to share what the Lord is doing in the mission field that they are serving in. So welcome to Word for Life. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing wonderful. Thank you for inviting us.
Well, we're thrilled to have Sarah.
I am very good. Thank you.
That is great. So I'm going to ask you some questions to help the audience get to know who you are and what you're doing. So here's the first question. Where is your mission?
Our mission is in the Dominican Republic. It's a beautiful island in the Caribbean, which became the hub for Christopher Columbus when they discovered America, to continue their expeditions in the New World, and hopefully even today continues to be a wonderful island that is interconnecting all the Caribbean islands, and we hope to take advantage of that for the gospel.
That is awesome. And when I think of the Caribbean, I think of warm weather and lots of sand. So the question is, what is your mission? We know where it is, but what is your specific mission that God has called you to?
Well, when the Lord called us to the Dominican Republic to minister, at the beginning, we thought of ourselves as continuing the ministry of our home church, but it was pretty evident right away that God wanted us to go into church planting and move the gospel to other provinces. So the Lord led us to plant a church in a beautiful community called Pica Pica in a province called San Cristobal, which is 45 to an hour away from the capital city. So that's where, for the last 18 years, we've been ministering for the glory of God.
So how many provinces are in the Dominican Republic, since you mentioned that?
We technically have 32 provinces. It's just that one is called the National District. So you will say 31 provinces and the National District.
We kind of do that here in the States. You got America and you got D.C., you know.
Okay, yeah, it's true.
So really, even though it's a small island, there's a lot of individual communities.
That's right.
And so even though you're ministering in Pica Pica, it's hard to reach those other communities without intentional planting churches in those specific provinces.
That's true. Sometimes I think there is a phenomenon where we get the gospel and we establish a church, and then we're content to remain there growing towards the inside instead of saying, how can we take all the resources and the people that the Lord has brought us and start planning to send them out? And I think that's where we came into play in God's plan of redemption for the DR, because God moved us. We were not even thinking about going out, and the Lord took us out, and that we have developed a burden now to not see this just happening by God pushing us out, but by sitting down and planning with a strategy. How can we train church planters and send them all around the island?
Now, this is a really important transition story, because you first started in a local church.
Yes.
In a lot of ways, like the Apostle Paul. He was just a regular churchgoer, and then the Holy Spirit pulls him aside in Barnabas, and he goes out. And now he begins to start churches all around. So it's very similar, and it's following a biblical pattern.
It is true. And I think sometimes people will fall into the conclusion that that was just a historical thing that happened. And I believe, even though there is some unique aspects about how the Lord used Paul in missions, there is a model for us to continue on. And I see it very clearly when Paul writes to the Thessalonians. Because he said that from you, the word of God started to spread.
Yeah, sounded forth.
In all the region of Macedonia and Achaia, it seems that when Paul left, he already trained them into moving forward with the gospel, not waiting for someone else to providentially be moved. But this is your mission. You need to move your people and take the gospel all around your area.
Now, you guys are both natives of the Dominican Republic.
Yes.
And so this is your backyard. This is your home.
Yeah. That's
true.
And I think you're doing a great work for the Lord, and you are challenging us listeners, us Americans, hey, stop turning inward, mm-hmm. right? And enjoying your local church, which you should, but start looking outward. And that outward can be literally in your backyard.
Exactly. That's so true. We have seen examples of other ministries, and we've been challenged as well. It's not just that finally, when we got there, we discovered that this is what we need to do. The Lord was working in our lives as well. And we understood that in order for our people to understand the Great Commission, they needed to move their feet and take the gospel, starting in the nearby communities, with the idea of eventually, wherever the Lord will save people, that we will start thinking about planting a new church.
Now, before we get to that part of the story, let's back up a little bit. You guys, when did you meet? When did you get married? How'd that story come along?
I met Carlos when I was 16 years old. Now I am 35. A long time ago.
And how old was Carlos at the time he met you when you were 16?
21.
Oh,
yeah.
So he was an older man. Young at heart.
He just came to the art after he graduated to Bob Jones. Mm-hmm. Yes, and he started working at church. And we met there, and we got married in 2008.
Which, how old were you at that point?
I thought I was around 21.
Okay, so several years passed.
Yes.
Were you thinking you're going to be a pastor's wife? Were you thinking you're going to be a church planner? Any of these things in your mind?
I never thought that I'm going to marry with a pastor. I knew that if I am a Christian, I have to marry with a Christian guy, but never thought was a pastor. But it's a blessing, serve the Lord, and it's a privilege to be married with a pastor.
So how did this transition take place? So it sounds like when you met Sarah, you weren't even thinking of being a pastor, or were you? Help us on that timeline.
I definitely knew I was called to the pastoral ministry. I just knew since I was young, I was going to come in to a church that was established and learn from my pastors, because when I came back to the DR, it was my home church that I started serving at. So it began a journey of working alongside them and at the same time helping in the Christian schools. I've been a Christian school teacher since this last summer. So it was also a way that the Lord provided for us to do tent making as we planted the church in San Cristobal. But I also taught for 8 years at their Bible Institute. So I was involved in many different ministries, but one of the ways that I thought I was going to see myself for a longer time was just learning from other pastors. But God took me right away to San Cristobal. A year later, even though I was working as part of the staff at my home church, the Lord was also leading me away to plant this work in San Cristobal.
But you're bivocational then. So you were working full-time job and serving the church.
Yeah, one of the hard things about being in a third world country is that ministry is not always, like the church, is not always able to afford to sustain everyone in staff. So usually, even when you're starting, you probably have to have some other means of income. And in my case, it was very natural that I will use my education and my training to do things related to the ministry, like teaching Bible in a Christian school and also teaching at a Bible Institute. And that was the way the Lord provided for us, including when we made the full transition to work at San Cristobal in that church plant. I was always working in Christian schools to support myself. And my wife is also an educator.
Oh, so you understand. And this is such a great reminder for us American in the church. So often we have the resources to pay a staff mm-hmm. and expect them to do everything. Mm-hmm. And what's happening in the pew is they're just sitting there. Now, Brookside's unique. We've got so many people involved, and we're thrilled with that. Mm-hmm. But it is a problem in many churches where the most able people are not involved in ministry. And I would just challenge our listeners mm-hmm. that if you've got time, you've got talents, and you've got treasures, use that for the work. Get your hands dirty, so to speak,
that's right.
in the ministry. And if you've got a great job in the secular world, that's wonderful. Use that as a beachhead for the gospel going forth.
Amen. Amen.
Well, we've got a little more time left. So you're serving in Pika Pika. You're married. And so you see the Lord drawing you to maybe taking this teaching, this planting, church planting further. Mm-hmm. Help us understand how that came about.
Yes. Well, we were already moving our people to take the gospel to other communities. We actually divided. We were not following any model. We were just trying to read the gospels and understand how Jesus trained his disciples. And he was sending them out to all the different communities to just share the gospel. And I know they already had a system of the synagogues where they would take advantage of that in every city and maybe get there and just share the word. But in our case, we train our people in evangelism, of course, and we divided them into four different mission teams to go out to different communities. And part of what we did was go to door-to-door evangelism, but also do VBS. And VBS has always been like a unique avenue for us to then eventually get to the families, because the kids are always available. It's almost like they're eager to come and do some activity. And we took advantage of that. And wherever we've been moving, that's how we started the church, actually, in Pika Pika. And eventually in two other communities called Porquero and then another called Mano Matuey, we already have a good base of children who are coming out and parents who are coming alongside with them to listen to the gospel. So we're now moving to Santo Domingo, and we have trained the locals. Two of our deacons are going to become future pastors there. And the Lord is just moving our hearts now to think about the entire island and how can we train other church planters and send them out and create a network of church planters where we can train them and then support them and then mentor them on the way. And that's where our burden is right now. And that's why we're going to plant Grace City Church, Iglesia Ciudad de Gracia, in the capital city of Santo Domingo.
Wow, what an amazing story, because you start off with the kids, right? Mm-hmm. And now they're starting to grow up from your presentation the other night.
Yes.
They grew up. Now they're serving as deacons. Mm-hmm. And some are even becoming potentially pastors.
Yeah.
And so this is truly, in many ways, a first generation now moving to a second generation
mm-hmm.
church.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And it begins simply with the children.
Exactly.
And mom and dad then see the change in the kids. They get invited. They feel the love and support. And now the church begins to grow.
Amen. And sometimes the very kids are the ones that are inviting the parents to come.
Wow. We only have a minute left. And this is only the first half of the story, because we're going to move to the second half, which is really why you're no longer teaching and what the vision of the Lord is. And I'm excited. So if you're listening today, this is Carlos and Sarah from the Dominican Republic. They are missionaries that are visiting us, and I pray that you visit their website. Let me give that to you. I'm going to spell it out because it's in Spanish. So it's www.ciudaddegraciard.com. So that's really, in English, it's City of Grace, but that's Ciudad de GraciaRD.com. I highly recommend, check out this website. Amazing pictures. You can learn about the ministry. And if you could, maybe support them as the gospel goes forth in a needed country such as the Dominican Republic. Well, thanks, Carlos. Thanks, Sarah. We'll be back one more time in the studio very soon.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at the Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about the Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.